You're listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. My name is Lynn, and I would like to offer our phone number for everyone. It is 614-403-4545. We welcome your calls. We welcome suggestions for new shows. We welcome if anybody wants to be on one of our shows, give us a call. There is a way that we can do it through the phone. So you could be on the show no matter where you live. Give us a call and let us know if you'd like to do that. And today we have a special guest. Sally has agreed to come and talk with me. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And Sally and I were trying to think of what can we talk about that would help a lot of people. And what we came up with is talking about being a single mom. And I want to give a disclaimer here. The reason we're not talking about being a single parent, meaning a single dad or a grandparent raising a child, we're talking about single moms specifically because we are experts. We have, for some length of time in our lives, been single moms. And they always say, talk about what you know. So we're going to talk about what we know. To the men out there who are single dads, some of this information is going to apply to you as well, but I would imagine just as differences between a man's haircut and a woman's haircut, you're going to have different experiences and different stress levels than what I might be able to offer up today in the show. So if you are a single dad and you're listening and you'd like to give a show about single dad's perspective, I welcome it. Give us a call or you can contact us through either City of Angels, or you can go through Facebook, just type in Stop Feeding the Predators, and we will get in touch with you and do whatever you need us to do, whether you want us to address certain topics or if you'd like to be on the show. So the first thing I'm going to do is say that it does not matter why you're a single mom. We're not talking about how you got there. We're talking about after you're there. So if you're a single mom or you're about to be a single mom and you're thinking all these millions of thoughts, hopefully some of what we share today will help you feel a little better in your own skin. Maybe we can educate you a little bit on some things that you might not have thought of and different ways to look at things to help you maintain some of your sanity through this and also to help your kids to be healthier through it all. So, Sally, thank you for coming and talking, and we've got a whole slew of possibilities to talk about, and I'm going to let you decide what you want to start with.
Okay. Well, I appreciate it, and thank you for having me. The one thing that I had a concern with, and it's gone through, unfortunately, the family, is how you can trust who's taking care of your kids. Whether it be an individual, even a family member, or a daycare. And the sad thing is, you really don't know. And I've seen a lot of things on TV where they're supposed to do background checks on some of these people that are caring for the children in daycare.
Right.
And they're finding out that they weren't thorough enough. The only way to protect your kids really is to get on a good communication level with them. When they come in the door, when you get home from work and you're picking them up or whatever, when you get home and have a minute, take your shoes off and sit down with your kids and don't say, how was your day? Get into detail. Say what you have for lunch. You know, keep it light so they're not feeling like they're being investigated. But, you know, just ask them details, who they played with, what they had for lunch, kind of bring them in, you know, to your world. So you're both on the same level of how their day went. Now, until they get older, they won't ask you how your day went. But, you know, the whole thing is about trust. And if you're not sure, you know, who's watching your kids and how they're really doing, make sure that you sit down with your kids. If it takes 15 minutes, that's a lot better than just saying, how was your day? They'll say, oh, fine. And that's the last you hear of it.
Right.
So that's one thing. My main concern is trust. And if you open that line of communication to your kids at an early age, 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds even, you don't say, how was your day? You say, what'd you do today?
Right.
And have them include you in what you've done, so, or what they've done.
Right.
So that's my first big issue with helping single moms. Now, I've been through it. I had 2 kids, and at that time, you could trust people. The thing was, nothing was out in the open about what may happen to these kids that are 3 and 5. Nothing was said, so you didn't know to be aware to talk to your kids if something was going on. And I've been through that. I've been through with relatives babysitting. I've been through, you know, the gambit, another daycare, all kinds of things. And truly, and I'm sorry I didn't, but at the time, all this, you know, abuse of children and, you know, the things that we're hearing about now were not a topic. They probably very well were happening, but the kids didn't feel like they could talk to their mom and say, Mom, guess who touched me today, or who had me sit on their lap, or, you know, they said, well, here, I'll go to the bathroom with you, and you just, I didn't think at that time to even ask.
Right.
But that's one thing that you have to do is open communication with your kids. Give them 15 minutes. Then you can get your clothes off and get dinner ready and do homework. But sit down with your kids and make sure that they know Mom's listening. Don't be on your cell phone or have the TV on. But just 15 minutes a day, unless you've got 6 kids and it'll take a little longer. But, you know, if you can just take that time
right.
and talk to them.
Right. So you're saying first thing when you get home, kick your shoes off, but don't go right into comfortable mode. Stay a little bit in the business mode and
right.
talk to your kids, you know, so that they know that they're important.
Exactly.
You know, mom cares that I'm important because she's talking to me and she's not even comfortable yet. She hadn't even changed her clothes from work yet.
Right. Exactly.
And I know for me personally, when I get home, once I take my shoes off, that's pretty much it. I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
I'm done for the day.
Right.
And if I change my clothes, you know, from work clothes to at-home clothes,
mm-hmm.
you better believe the kids know I'm in chill mode.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't necessarily want to hear a bunch of stressful stuff because I'm in chill mode. And I really like what you said about come home and kick your shoes off, but stay in your professional
mm-hmm.
mindset
mm-hmm.
that you're going to have a communication with these little people that live in your house.
Right.
And hey guys or gal, or you know, if you got 1, 2 or several, whatever.
Right.
You know, hey, I haven't seen you all day. You were at, you know, Miss Susie's house all day. You know, what'd you guys do today? And kids love to talk. I know lots of parents make that joke about, you know, my kid asks me why 1,000 times a day.
Right.
But if we learn to use that to our advantage.
Right, that's true. That is true.
Kids will tell you everything.
Right.
If you are willing to listen. And like you said, establishing that communication at 2 and 3 years old.
Right.
You know, if you come home from work and you're stressed and you walk in the door and kick your shoes off and they go flying across the room, the kids know we're not going to have a happy night. You know, mom's stress level's up there and, you know, mom's feeling bad. And it kind of sets the tone. And then when you say in a gruff voice, you know, so what'd you do today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know that kid's going to say, nothing.
Nothing. How'd your day go?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Because you've already made it clear by your body language, by
right.
your mannerisms from walking in the door that
right.
you're not interested in communicating. You just had a bad day and you're done with the day.
That's true.
So I really like the idea, take your shoes off so that you're comfortable. Keep your business clothes on so that...
Mm-hmm.
You can maintain that attitude that you have to pretend to care even if your day really sucked and you don't care right now.
Right.
You have to care.
You have to care.
And if you do that on a regular basis, kids get used to,
mm-hmm.
oh, okay, I got my diaper changed, I got snack, and then mommy came and picked me up, and then we went home, and mommy took her shoes off, and we talked about playtime, and we talked about nap time, and we talked about the car ride this morning because we ran out of gas, and we talked about, and kids will learn, once mommy's shoes come off, we're going to talk.
Right.
And
that's true.
If you can be comfortable, and I know a bunch of parents are going to cringe right now, if you can be comfortable talking about sex, you can make your children comfortable talking to you about sex. Because, and again, a lot of people are going to be saying, well, 3 and 4 and 5 year olds aren't having sex. No, they're being raped or they're being molested. They're not having sex. But if you are not comfortable talking about sex with your children, they are never going to open up to you about these things that are happening to them.
That's where the communication starts when they're young.
Right.
2, 3, 4 years old, you get that communication going where mommy really cares. She took her shoes off and she's listening to me.
Right.
And it's like, okay. And I ask, you know, you can say, well, my day was pretty rough too if the child had a bad day. But say, well, that was good, and praise them.
Right.
Build them up so they know that they're just not something mom does.
Right.
This is mommy time.
Right.
And you can have it later too when you read them a story at bedtime or whatever. But they, it shows them that you're so interested and you're so important to them. And truthfully, one of my notes here, it says, why else are you going to work? To support your child that you love, your children. And, you know, if you don't have a communication with your child, then why even go to work? I mean, you know, you're losing the whole idea. If you support them with a house and food and maybe a puppy and Christmas and all that. But if you're not communicating and talking to them, it's not going to work.
Right.
The kids are going to get resentful. Well, I got a new coloring book, but mom won't talk to me. I got to tell her something.
Right.
Well, you've got to open that up to begin with.
Right.
And then, like you were saying, Lynn, to get into the sex part, kids will feel more comfortable. And back to what I was saying, who can you trust? That's when you get into, you know, your potty breaks. Who went with you? Did anyone touch you? And you can even show them on your body or a doll, say, well, did anybody touch you anywhere? And show me,
right.
You know.
Right.
So open it up that way, and then it'll evolve into older, you know, as the kids get 5, 6, 7 and up.
Right.
Then if something happens, they feel comfortable. Well, mommy, I was at so-and-so's house playing, and so-and-so did this. So that's what you want to know. And unfortunately, that's what a lot of moms don't know and didn't know back
right.
in the day. Because
right.
they didn't talk about it. It wasn't advertised. You didn't see Uncle Fred going to prison for molesting his niece.
Right.
You just didn't hear about it. And the niece shut up and then Stop Feeding the Predators is trying to help those people. They've suppressed all this through the years. And now they have somebody. They realize they're not the only ones
right.
that happened to.
Right. And I think, you know, you touched on it, is that silence around the abuse.
Right.
And, mm-hmm. you know, I have a lot of people, you know, moms and dads and even grandparents who suspect something will come to me and say, I know something's happening, mm-hmm. but I can't get my child or grandchild, whoever it is, to disclose.
Right.
What do I do? And let's go to the most obvious. If your child feels comfortable talking to you about everything, then you don't have to investigate to find out. Your children are going to tell you.
Right.
We have a program that we're still in the works on. It's called GIR, and it's Gut Instinct Response Reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive by an accident scene, your gut reacts to what you witness.
Right.
For children, they have that same gut that all of us have. It's just as adults, we have learned to ignore it. We've learned to put it aside. And that's a bad thing to learn.
It's true.
It's a really bad thing to learn. But when we, you know, for example, when we're in church and we have to be quiet and we don't want to, we have to suppress the urge to talk.
Right.
So we stifle our gut. When it's supper time and, you know, somebody puts lima beans on our plate and we're a little kid and we've been told, you know, don't say yuck, we have to suppress yuck, somebody put lima beans on my plate, you know. So if we can allow our kids to trust that gut, you know, mommy, I was at Aunt Susie's today. And again, I'm just using random names,
right.
not meaning anything against anyone named Aunt Susie. I apologize in advance. But, you know, mommy, I was at Aunt Susie's today and she touched my elbow and I didn't like it. Trust that gut.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know most moms can only think of one way an elbow can be touched.
Right. Right.
You know, somebody takes their hand and touches your elbow.
Right.
Sexually assaulted children can be touched or can be forced to touch other people with body parts that you and I just think of as an elbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an elbow. So what if Aunt Susie touched your elbow? But the child's gut reacted that there was something weird about this. And the best thing we can do with our kids is say, Aunt Susie touched your elbow and it was weird. Why was it weird? And let them tell you.
Right, right.
Don't feed into what did she touch your elbow with, because that sets in the child's mind that certain things are going to be okay and certain things are not going to be okay.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And your child might not know the names of parts.
That's true, depending on their age. Sure.
So if you say, Aunt Susie touched your elbow and it was weird, what was weird about it? Why was it weird?
Right, right.
You know, I'm really glad that you told me that your elbow was weird today. Were any other parts weird today? Did your nose feel weird today? And you can kind of be silly a little bit. And
yeah.
some kids, depending on their age and how much they watch TV, some kids can take off with it and say, yes, my nose was silly weird today, and my ears were weird today, and my chin was... And that doesn't mean something happened to all those body parts. Some kids will just kind of take off
right.
with every part being weird.
Right.
But if you say, oh, okay, to all of those, you know, nose,
right.
ears, and all that.
Right.
And then you can say, well, what was weird about your elbow today?
Mm-hmm.
And go back to it. And the more we let the kids tell us,
right.
the more they will tell us.
Right.
If
exactly.
you say, well, tell Aunt Susie not to touch your elbow in a weird way.
Right.
We have just told a child to handle a situation that some adults don't know how to handle.
Right.
And
exactly.
and by that I mean, you know, how many times have you been out at the grocery store and somebody will need to get behind you and they will gently and politely put their hand up on your back so that you don't back into them as they're walking behind you? Well, that could be creepy. That could just be, oh, okay, they were just getting past.
Right.
And it depends on how they touched you.
Yeah, if they start rubbing your back, that's a whole different story.
Right,
or
right.
grab your shoulder and start rubbing it to move you aside.
Right.
Yeah, a flat hand, fine, but don't be, you know.
Don't be feeling
me. And that's
me.
Weird. That would be weird.
Right.
Yes.
So you know, again, take it back to the child. What was weird about your elbow today?
Right.
What made it weird? You know, and you could even say, can I touch your elbow with my thumb? And the child might say, you know, yeah. And so you could touch the child's elbow with your thumb and say, was that weird? And they might say, no, that's your thumb. That's not weird. Oh, okay. Well, then what made it weird?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid will say, you know, well, Aunt Susie didn't use her hand. Oh, she didn't use her hand. Did she use her left hand or her right hand or neither hand? Neither hand. Oh, okay. Well, then how did she touch your elbow? And the kids will
right.
say, she touched it weird. And if the kid keeps saying she touched it weird,
right.
and again, this is just a bizarre example. People, bear with me. Your kid's trying to tell you something happened that made their gut react.
Right. They felt uncomfortable. Right.
They didn't feel okay. And I use the accident scene scenario because most people can imagine, even without doing it, if I drove past an accident scene and saw blood and gore,
mm-hmm.
even saying that, my gut's kind of turning a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
So... I'm for radio, I'm trying to help people get kind of a feel for what do I mean by your gut reaction.
Right.
But yeah, getting your kids to communicate with you, and then when they have these gut reactions, they will tell you. So we need to trust our kids to talk to us, but we have to communicate with our kids to get them to trust us.
Exactly.
And
you've got to start on the very basic day-to-day, what'd you do today?
Right.
How was your day? Not how was your day, what did you do today?
Right. Well, you can say how was your day.
Yeah,
as long as you
with.
Follow up with
right.
what did you do today?
Right.
And if you've got teenagers and they hit you with a whole bunch of nothing, we didn't do anything,
mm-hmm.
you can say, really? You had a whole day of doing nothing? Man, I wish I had a whole day of doing nothing. I had to do a bunch of stuff I didn't like doing today.
Right.
Do you ever have days where you have to do stuff you don't like to do?
Yeah.
You know, and they might open up and say, well, actually, today really sucked, Mom, and they might tell you.
Right.
Or they could be typical teenagers and they could say, yeah, I have a lot of days like that, and today, nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Yeah, it was just a day. I got through it.
And you say, oh, okay, well, if you ever have a day where something happens, or if you have a day where nothing happens and you want to tell me how many nothings happened.
Right.
You know, I'd like to hear about a day where nothing happened, because that's rare.
You know, in at my age, looking back when my kids were young, I'm guilty, as a lot of single moms were, of not getting involved enough in the schoolwork. Say you've got kids that are 6, 7, 8, or that range, or whatever, or even teenagers. Keep an eye on their homework. See if they're having problems with math. But this, again, will open up conversation where the teenager comes in and you say, well, how did your day go? How'd that math test go?
Right.
So they know that you're involved.
Right.
You can't just say, oh, well, you know, and you'll say, oh, okay, I got through the test okay. Well, how was it? You know, was something I could do, you know, because I can't do the math they're doing now. But get more involved in their homework, in their classes, what they're worried about. And we're talking, you know, young kids, but teenagers mainly, because they're so far off track. And also, and I saw this somewhere, kids and their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And I know working moms have a hard time coordinating getting everybody together if you have more than one kid. And actually fixing a meal or getting pizza, whatever, but you all sit down together and put your cell phones in another room.
Yeah.
That is a big plus.
Yeah, and that's a great idea.
I'm going to start that when all my kids and grandkids and great-grandkids get together. There's going to be a box by grandma's door, and you put your cell phone in there when you come in. Or you're not going to eat.
Yep.
And that's what I'm going to do, because right now, and it's not just kids, but it's true. The kids are they're growing up with it.
Right.
Where I didn't.
Right.
And it's like if the phone rang and the kids were there, I'd either pick it up or let it go to answering machine. Nothing's more important than having everybody together and, talking, communicating.
Right.
Again, is here we go.
Right.
Yeah.
And that also reinforces to the kids, the grandkids, and others, that you value the relationships.
Right. Oh, exactly.
You know, you don't come to my house very often, and you're here, so I want you to be here. I don't want
right.
you to be on your phone.
Right.
Because you can be on your phone when you leave,
mm-hmm.
but I can't be with you when you leave.
Right.
So,
yeah,
that makes sense.
And I'm of the age, too, and there's a lot of us out there born in the 40s, and cell phones were not anything that we had. And like I say, if the phone rang at home, it was one of those dial phones.
Right.
You know, and if you were busy with a family member, you say, hey, so-and-so's here, I'll call you back. But
right.
now it's just like, oh, it's stuck to their ears. So
yeah.
people can appreciate. And yeah, with the great-grandkids, too, they're old enough now, they have cell phones. And kids think they have to have one because Susie has one.
Right.
Well, 6-year-old Susie doesn't need a cell phone.
Right.
So,
right. And I know a lot of single moms
mm-hmm.
use cell phones to put in, like, different programs for the kids to watch to occupy them.
Right, right.
And I honestly don't think I've seen so many people wearing glasses in elementary school. And by people, I mean children.
You're right. You are right. Yes.
There are so many children that are having to wear glasses. And yep. I'm not an optometrist. I don't claim to be. But I believe that
yeah.
all the video, computer screens, all that, it factors in. Our eyes aren't supposed to look at that stuff 24 hours a day.
Right. And the things that they're showing online.
Right.
It's just a whole other world to me. And even my my daughter has problems with what's online. So it's like, these kids don't need to be exposed to that.
Right.
And yeah, new rules in grandma's house.
Right. I think that's great.
Again, it comes back to the communication.
Right.
And if you're on the cell phone and grandma's sitting there like to talk to you about your school or your vacation that you went away for or camp, and you're sitting there with your face on the phone, on the screen or whatever they call it, she has no chance.
Right.
So, yeah, communication is being taken away by cell phones.
Right.
Yeah.
Ironically, the thing we're using to communicate better is interfering with our communicating at all.
There you go.
And
yeah.
and don't even get me started on text messaging, because that's just a whole new realm of I don't even have to talk to you and I can still trade messages with you, you know? I have a couple of friends and they are really big into texting because they can text while they're at work.
Right.
You know, hey, what are you doing later? Do you want to meet up after work?
Right.
You know, things like that. And texting is great. I think texting is great for a mom who's not allowed to take a phone call at work.
Mm-hmm. True.
But she wants to know that her kids got home safe.
That's true. Right.
And the kids can send a text, you know, came home, stubbed my toe, dog pooped on the floor. You know, whatever the kids want to say,
right.
But mom knows when without taking a phone call and getting in trouble at work.
Right.
She knows the kids are home.
Right. They're home, saved, and
yep.
The door's locked.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they stay there until she gets home, hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I know, being a single parent, I was always a little on edge until all the kids were home.
Right. Right.
When everybody's in and the door's locked, I'm like, okay,
right.
You guys are going to fight with each other and torment each other. I know. I'm expecting
right.
that.
Right.
But at least I know what to expect from the torture my children give each other.
That's true. That's
you know.
You know who to blame.
Yeah. And, yeah. And you know, kids will, you know, pick on each other and things like that. And
right.
a lot of that's normal. And a lot of it is stress. And some of it's just learning to set boundaries for each other.
That's true.
You know, I always hear you people say, you know, my kid's complaining, you know, his sister keeps touching his foot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, tell his sister to stop touching his foot, you know.
Right.
Reinforce that his body is his own.
Right.
Even if it's just an annoying sister touching his foot.
Right.
Tell her to leave him alone. And then ask her, do you like it when people touch your foot repeatedly? And she'll probably say no.
Seems to me I went through that with my kids.
Yeah.
Stop touching me. Stop touching me.
Would you stop touching me? And name calling. And my kids came up with some unusual names. I never in my life did I think I would have to reprimand my children and say, stop calling your sister tofu. I don't even know what to... I'm like, we weren't even vegetarians or anything. I mean, tofu was not a food that was in our house, you know?
It aggravated her, right?
It annoyed the sister to the point that she was complaining about it, and the brother kept doing it, and the sister kept complaining, and I'm like, stop calling your sister tofu.
That's strange.
Try not to laugh especially when you're a single mom, because you don't have that backup support.
Right.
You can't go in the other room and lose it hysterically because your kids are being so bizarre silly.
Right.
Because you have to maintain that dad side too.
Oh yeah. That's something.
And
you have to
be the disciplinarian, and you have to say, you know, authoritatively,
right.
Stop calling your sister tofu.
Right.
That is not acceptable. And then you have to go in the other room and lose it and laugh and be like, oh my gosh.
You Really?
I can think of worse things to be called. But again, we're fine on time. But then again, you know, that sister pestering her brother, maybe somebody pesters her.
That's true.
And by pestering him, she's trying to see how mom reacts.
Right. Exactly.
So if mom says, nobody should, you know, keep touching your brother's foot. Don't do that, because that's not respectful to his body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the sister might say, okay, well, what if somebody's touching my foot? And then as a parent, you say, well, if somebody's touching you in a way that you don't like, or it makes you feel uncomfortable, or it's just plain annoying,
mm-hmm.
you have the right to tell them to stop. And mm-hmm. if they don't, you have the right, and you should, find somebody to help you. Tell me that somebody's touching your foot and you don't like it.
Right.
Or your nose or your elbow or anything.
Yeah, right. Start with the teacher or the mom or
right.
whatever,
right.
whoever's Tell, close.
Right. And a lot of times when I talk to people and, you know, they let me talk with their kids about mm-hmm. sexual assault, I always tell the children, if anybody ever touches you in a way that you don't like,
mm-hmm.
I don't care what they're touching you with or where they're touching you, if anyone ever touches you in a way that you don't like, tell someone that you trust. They have to be an adult. Children can't help you.
Right. Right.
It can be your friend, best friend's mom or dad, if that's who you trust. But it can't be your best friend. It has to be an adult. And if that adult doesn't do anything, or you feel like they're not doing anything, you need to find someone else to trust that's an adult and tell them.
Right.
And you need to keep telling until somebody does something about it.
Right. Makes sense.
You know, if the room's on fire and I say the room's on fire and you ignore me,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to keep telling somebody the room's on fire until somebody pays attention and we
right.
all get out of here safely, you know. And it's
right.
it's the same with sexual assault. It's the same with being molested, raped, you know, touched in any way. And again, I don't even care if Aunt Susie used her hand to touch your elbow. If it made you uncomfortable, she needs to stop.
True. That's true.
And if she won't respectfully stop, even though it's just an annoyance, then she shouldn't be left alone with you.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I want to bring up a point, too. I guess we have time.
Mm-hmm.
Single moms, and like Lynn had mentioned, single moms are also dads. So when you're a single mom, say, for instance, you have a boy or two young kids, and dads supposedly go out and play ball with the boys, kind of not toughen them up, but just get them out there doing sports, if they can get them away from their cell phones.
And video games.
Video games. But I hope the world comes around to it that, well, I got off track. But anyway, the single mom being a dad, and it's true, she has the final say. She has no one else to check with, unless hopefully she has a mom or somebody to support her. But she makes the decisions. And if the kids realize that, and again, this is communication with your kids.
Right.
When they're old enough to understand, yeah, daddy's not here all the time. You might have him on the weekends or every other weekend or something. But say, yeah, but since dad's not here, I'm going to be the one that you have to listen to.
Right.
And unfortunately, some people, their ex-husbands or whatever, treat the kids differently. Not that they're molesting them, but treat them differently so they get, to do what they want.
Right.
More often than the mom would let them. Because the mom doesn't have time. If she's got more than one child, it's really a hard road to go down.
Right.
So
right.
She's trying to keep it level with the kids, not beating each other up when she's not home.
Right, right.
But when she walks in that door and takes her shoes off and, really sit down and talk to them, again, communication, but she has to make them understand that she's doing the best she can being the mom full-time and the dad part-time.
Right.
Plus she goes to work. So
right.
The kids can have a home and food and buy that whatever they need for the next school play. So it's really important that the kids understand mommy is full-time mommy and daddy.
Right.
And if the dad takes them away on the weekends, she should really sit down and talk to him about that and say, dad might let you stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning or midnight or whatever, but we have rules here and mom doesn't allow that.
Right.
So they understand, and again, communication. And then if something happens with dad, they get touched by one of his friends or whatever, then they feel they can come back to you.
Right. And I always make sure that parents, whether it's divorced or never married or shared custody or, again, it doesn't matter the circumstances. Even
right.
if you're happily married.
Right.
This still applies.
That's true. That's
never,
true.
Never put the other parent down in front of your children.
That's true.
Because there are times that children will identify with the behaviors of that other parent.
Mm.
And if you say, oh my gosh, your dad is being such a weenie head, and the child identifies with the behaviors the dad has, they know mom's going to think they're a weenie head.
That's true.
And you build resentment between the child and actually the mom, not the dad.
Mm-hmm.
Because kids say, that's my dad.
Right.
I'm part of him, just like I'm part of mom.
Right.
So you end up causing a rift between yourself and your child instead of your child and the weenie head.
It's true. The guy that's not there all the time.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I always encourage moms and also dads,
mm-hmm.
if you have a complaint, like you use the staying up too late, talk to that other parent privately.
That's true.
And I'm not talking about the kids are waiting in the car.
Right.
And you're standing outside the door. They can still hear you. And trust me, they're hanging on every word that's said.
Right. That's true.
But tell the other parent, I'd like to talk to you about bedtime curfew because I'm having some problems.
Right.
And I don't want to have health issues for the child.
Right.
And again, the more respectful that you are to that other parent, hopefully, fingers crossed, the more they will respect what you're trying to do.
That's true.
I know a lot of single parents, whether it's dads or moms, they have the kids, like you said, on the weekends.
Right.
And they let them get away with anything because they
right.
don't want to discipline them. I only see my child so many hours
right.
every other week.
Right.
We are not setting a bedtime. We're going to eat whatever we want. We're going to be together and enjoy each other's company.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates an unrealistic expectation for that child as far as a future spouse. Because they get the idea that this parent's the strict one and this parent's the fun one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a little girl and the dad lets her get away with all kinds of stuff, she's going to grow up knowing she's got to be the hard-nosed disciplinarian in the household, and she can marry a guy that doesn't pay his bills, may or may not have a job, but my gosh, he's a lot of fun.
That's
just
true.
Like dad.
That's true. Just like dad.
Just like
yeah.
dad. And you set your kids up for very difficult relationships because you've set an unrealistic standard for parenting.
That's true. That is true.
You know, and children, as hard as it is to believe, children growing up will respect when both parents work together, even if they're not married, even if they don't live together, even if they've never been married, even if it was a surprise pregnancy, whatever. When children see that the parents have each other's backs, it helps that child have some safety,
right?
Some security in knowing what to expect next. It's tough. And, you know, again, we're not going into all the different ways that you could become a single mom.
Right.
You know, whether it's addiction issues, you know, and a surprise pregnancy, or you thought it was great and found out after you got pregnant that it wasn't great, you know, whatever. But you still have to find a way to either include that parent in a healthy way or exclude that parent in a healthy way. When I was a single mom to my kids, it was me and five kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband went to jail for raping my kids.
Okay.
So pretty big stuff.
Right.
I never badmouthed him. And to this day, my kids seem to appreciate my not doing that. Because, okay, first of all, he raped the kids. So what could I possibly say? And all the kids were aware that, you know, daddy touched inappropriately and he's being punished.
Mm-hmm.
What could I possibly say that would trump that? You know, how can I make him look bad? They already know what he did.
Right.
If I say he's a weenie head, does that make him look worse? No, that makes me look bitter.
That's hard. It'd be very hard, though. I know with my ex, it was a matter of divorce, and I didn't really want to see him again.
Right.
And unfortunately, through years of fighting in court, he got visitation. Well, it turns out that he wasn't such a fun guy after all, as I understand. They spent a lot of time doing pretty much nothing. But I don't recall if I badmouthed him other than... I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I don't
and like
remember.
You said, when there's whether it's a difficult breakup or, you know, the relationship wasn't working out and you found out you're pregnant at the last minute as you're breaking up, you know, again, regardless of the circumstances.
Right.
But what I want people to remember is it took two of you to create that child. You can either destroy half of your child by bashing the other parent.
Definitely, I agree with you there.
Or you can help your child to feel whole and healthy.
Right.
You know, I was very careful with my kids to not make too many comparisons between them and their dad because I didn't want them to be afraid they were going to grow up to be child rapists.
Right, exactly.
But at the same time, I wanted them to know that they had features that I liked about him. I mean, obviously, I didn't marry, you know, a child rapist. I married a guy that was a nice guy. He was, you know, college graduate, great guy, got along with everybody that we knew.
Right.
No addiction issues, you know. I didn't marry a rapist.
Right.
I married a great guy.
Right.
Who, as it turns out, was a rapist.
Right.
But when I would talk to, especially my sons, you know, and I would say something like, oh, my gosh. You are so frustrated with me the same way your dad used to get frustrated with me because I don't understand technology.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would kind of let that go because mm-hmm. they had a connection. They're okay, you know, I'm kind of like my dad.
Right.
And then I would say, but your dad didn't have the patience that you do with me.
Yeah.
So I can help them connect to that other parent, their other half,
right.
and be okay. But then find something about the child that's better than that other parent, you know.
That's true.
You helped me so much with technology. Your dad got as frustrated as you're getting frustrated with me, but he didn't have the patience that you do with me.
Right.
And that helps the child to feel that they're kind of like their dad, but better.
Yeah. Well,
you know,
that's true.
I'm not going to make the mistakes he made, because I might have his twisted sense of humor. I might have some of his physical features.
Mm-hmm. True.
But Mom said that I'm better because I have patience.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, I tell silly jokes like my dad used to do, but I have better jokes.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and help that child to feel complete.
Right.
Without bashing them. I mean, you know, when you say to somebody, you know, oh, you know, you talk to a married couple, you'd never say to a woman, oh, your husband's a jerk. Mm-hmm. Because that reflects on her.
Right, that's true.
Now, she can tell you her husband's a jerk, and
right.
That's fine. But
can't judge him.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. Especially, you know, like I said, married couples, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And children the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I identify with my mom, and I identify with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And I have things about me that I see came from my mom.
Right.
And I have things that came from my dad. And I have good and bad from both parent.
Right.
You know.
Hmm.
But it's okay. I'm comfortable with the good and the bad from both parent, you know. And, you know, one of the things we talked about is the safety factor.
Right.
You know, mentally helping your child understand that you're there for them no matter what. If
right.
the power gets turned off, you're still here.
Right.
You know, if there's nothing to eat for dinner, you're going to help them figure it out, and you guys are going to figure out dinner, whatever it is. And that helps in the communication. You know, what'd you do today? Nothing.
Exactly.
Really? Nothing happened all day? That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Really.
And make it okay that nothing happened. Make it okay that they don't want to tell you. Because if you make it okay that they don't want to tell you,
mm-hmm.
then when they want to tell you, they know you're going to listen. Because you made it okay when they didn't want to tell.
Yeah, that's true, too. That's true, too.
Think of advertising. Every parent who's listening right now, think of advertising. Have you ever seen a commercial where somebody said, this new candy bar is so good, you have to eat it. You have to eat this candy bar. Eat this candy bar right now. Eat this candy bar. I'm telling you, eat this candy bar. No. Because nobody wants anything shoved down their throat, even if it's a candy bar.
Right. That's true.
Advertising says, these candy bars are great. This chocolate is so creamy. This candy bar gives me energy. Whatever. They tell you something good about it to make you want it.
Right.
So if you tell your children, I want to talk to you no matter what's going on, and I think we should start now, so how was your day?
Mm-hmm.
And the kid said, well, it was all right. And I say, what did you do? And they say, nothing. I say, that's cool. Tell me about nothing, because I don't think I can recall a day where I didn't have something happen. And make it okay for them to not want to tell you, because eventually they will.
It's true.
You
that's
have to
true.
Keep asking. You know, the kids depend on you. And whether you're stressed from work, and this goes for, we were talking about professional clothes, whether you're a waitress, whether you're a carpenter, whether you're a doctor, whether you're in the white-collar business office world, no matter what your work clothes are, your children know there's a difference between work mom and home mom.
True. True.
And if you maintain some of that professionalism when you're talking to them, it helps them know they're as important as your job.
Exactly. Exactly.
And like you were saying, what's the whole reason you're working anyway?
Right. That brings us right back to, why are you working anyway?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, kids will learn to trust their gut.
True.
Because you've made it okay to say, Aunt Susie touched my elbow and it was weird.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. What was weird about it, you
mm-hmm.
know? And you help them explore why was it weird.
Right.
Maybe that's the first time Aunt Susie has ever touched them.
Right.
Maybe it was just weird because, you know, she's always been distant and cold, and she affectionately, sweetly touched the child's elbow, and the child was okay with it because it was, you know, good
right.
intentions behind it.
Right.
But it was weird because Aunt Susie has never touched me before.
Right.
You know, like being around somebody who doesn't give hugs. And then one day you see that person and they're giving somebody a hug and you think, that's kind of weird. I've never seen them give a hug.
That's true.
It doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
That's true.
You know, it could be a good thing. It could be the person said, you know, well, I never gave hugs because, you know, I was abused when I was growing up and I just didn't want to be close to people. Or maybe they had really bad dandruff. And they finally found the right shampoo to get the flakes under control, and now they're comfortable hugging. And Sally, you're laughing, but it's true. You know?
Yeah.
We don't know why somebody is distant.
That's true.
We don't know why. There's some people, they will touch you up one side and down the other. Nothing sexual about it.
Right.
They're as sweet as can be. They love you to death.
Yeah.
But my gosh, they just can't keep their hands to themselves.
Yeah.
And that's not creepy. That's not weird. But again, whether I'm a child or an adult, I have the right to say, you know, I really like you and I like spending time with you, but it makes me really uncomfortable when you touch me so much.
Right. That's true.
And there are some people that, you know, I think of Southerners especially when I'm saying this, you know, oh, honey pie, you know, come here, and they'll, you know, give you a big hug whether you wanted it or not and stuff like that.
Oh, but Italian families are really good on that.
Italian families.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Gotta hug them hello, hug them goodbye.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, instilling in your kids that it is their right to be safe in their own skin.
Right. That's true.
Whether your sister's annoying you by touching her foot, or Aunt Susie touched your elbow and it was weird, or, you know, Grandma Molly always pulls my ears when she comes to see me. Whatever it is, your child has the right
to say no.
To say no, don't do that.
Right. Exactly.
And you can say it politely, nicely, you know, it doesn't have to be a big confrontation.
Right.
You know, Aunt Molly, don't pull my ears, it hurts and I don't like when you do that, but I'm really happy to see you.
Yeah, right.
You know, and if Aunt Molly's a constant ear puller, it might take some time before she catches on, but
buy her a puppy.
Well, you wear earmuffs every time she comes over, and she'll say, oh, that really does bother you. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize it was affecting you that much. You know, I mean, it doesn't have to be a big explosive thing.
That's true.
It's just
communicating. Communicate. Give them the feeling that they're, even if they're children, that they can communicate to an adult.
Right.
And have that respect back and forth. The communication, big key. Big key.
And if the kids can't talk to other adults and get respected, it's important that they talk to mom and are respected.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if your child's very shy, if they have autism, if there's anything that's, you know, a boundary between them and making another adult respect them, maybe the other adult's just a jerk. But if your child can communicate with you,
definitely,
then when your child tries to communicate with the other adult, if that fails, your child knows you've got their back.
Right, exactly.
And you're going to tell Aunt Susie, Jimmy doesn't like it when you touch his elbow.
Yeah, please stop.
No, not please.
Stop.
Stop doing that.
Oh,
it makes him uncomfortable.
Okay.
Because, and some people are going to say, you know, gosh, you're so obnoxious, you won't say please. When somebody is touching someone else without permission ahead of time, they don't deserve a please.
That's true.
That's my thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I spoke with a guy earlier today, and in our conversation, I found out that he was in the military. And I asked him, I said, may I give you a hug? And he said, oh, that'd be great. And as I gave him a hug, I said, thank you so much for your service. I really appreciate what you've done to help me have the freedoms that I have.
Right.
You know, could I have just hugged him without asking his permission? Probably. Would he have been offended? Maybe, maybe not.
Right. But you ask him.
But, you know, I didn't have, you know, like his wife come up and attack me because I was just all out and out, hugged her husband for no apparent reason.
Right.
You know?
That's true.
And I had his permission ahead of time.
That's true.
And again, like I was saying about the dandruff thing, you know, there are some times that I don't want to be hugged just because I'm just in a weird space right now. And I'm like, you know, I'm just not in a hug mood.
Yeah.
And if someone says, may I give you a hug? I like that they respected me enough to be able to give me that opportunity to say, I don't want a hug right now, but it really helps me feel good to know that you wanted to give me a hug.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's as adults, we're entitled. I don't know if you know this, and this is a little off the subject, but not really. If someone touches your body and they didn't have your permission, did you know that legally that's called assault?
Yes, I did know that.
Just to touch you.
Odd enough. Yes, they don't have to hit you with a fist.
Right.
If they just touch you, that can be assault.
Touching you anywhere. And it doesn't have to be in a sexual way or a violent way.
Right.
Touching you at all.
Right.
And I want to empower children to have that right.
That's true.
And I want to remind, especially single moms, that we have that right.
That's true.
You know, we're talking about, you know, the safety aspect, you know, being the mom and the dad both having to protect our kids.
Right.
We have to learn how to protect ourselves first.
That's true.
And that
Very
means
true.
Learning what is appropriate and what's not so that we can set boundaries for ourselves that are healthy.
Right.
And if people don't respect those boundaries, then those people can't be around us.
That's true.
You know,
yeah, makes sense.
If Aunt Molly's pulling ears every time she comes and we've asked her politely not to, and I say politely, you don't have to say please.
Mm-hmm.
Politely means, Aunt Molly, it really hurts, you know, Jimmy when you pull his ears.
Right.
I'd like you to not do that anymore.
Right.
You know, or stop doing that.
Right.
That's still politely asked.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be ranting and raving and, you know, flailing a sword or anything. You just politely say, don't do that anymore.
Right.
You know, and if she keeps it up, you go with the earmuffs. And if she pulls the earmuffs off and still pulls your ears, Aunt Molly's not going to be invited over anymore.
That's true. And you won't go see her either.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right. We have a little bit of time left. And I always, at the end of the show, I always like to give people hope. And the first thing I'll say is kudos to everybody who's listening, because you're already doing things to make you a better parent. You know, and with our hour show, if you only like one third of what I've said, and you only agree with one eighth of that, if you've taken anything at all that helps you to feel that you can communicate with your kids or to understand that you have the right to communicate with your kids. You know, the big thing is educating yourself on how to be a better parent. You know, what do I do to be better? How do I get through this? Because every parent in the world is a first-time parent. Even if it's your second child, it's still the first time you've had two kids. Even if it's your fifth child, it's the first time you've had an infant and four other kids. So every parent is a first-time parent. You know, there are very few people that have three children, raise them to completion, and start over. It does happen, but it's very rare. But even at that, then you're still a first-time parent to a child with having three grown kids. I mean, so we're all learning every step of the way. And we get stressed, you know, we get tired from work and we get tired of being the only one doing the parenting.
Definitely. Yes.
You know, money's tight.
Yes.
We get incredibly lonely.
And tired.
and you know, for me, the loneliness was the hardest thing. It was me and five kids. When they all went to bed, I had no one.
Yeah, the night times. The night times,
yeah.
Yes.
And, you know, if I had reached out to other single moms, when their kids went to bed, my kids went to bed, we could talk on the phone. I mean, people have Facebook nowadays. So there are ways you can reach out to people. And, you know, as a single mom today, I would fully take advantage of Facebook in the idea that when my kids are in bed, I can go on Facebook, see who's on Facebook, send them a message, hey, are your kids asleep? Do you want to talk?
Right.
And then you can talk on the phone.
That's true. That
and
is true.
And it takes away, even though it's not an in-person thing, it takes away the idea that the world has stopped until your children wake up again.
Right.
You know, I always felt like that Velveteen Rabbit. I wasn't real unless I was interacting with my kids, because once they all went to sleep, I didn't know who to be. Because I'd been mom all day,
true.
And now what do I do?
That's true.
You know, I'm not at work, and I'm not being mom.
You have your own time, and you don't know how to.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, there's lots of counselors and therapists that are going to say having hobbies is good. I had five kids. I was single parent. I had no every other weekend off.
Mm-hmm.
I had no sick days. If I didn't work, I didn't get paid. And it all came down to a hobby was going to be something that I was not going to have time to do.
Right, right.
You know, and I was very fortunate. My work was my hobby. I did painting for a living. And not portraits or anything fun, but, you know, walls and ceilings and, you know, even, you know, basement floors and stuff. But I enjoyed painting.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, my job was relaxing. It was stressful because I had to do it, and I had to do a lot of stuff to make enough money to cover the bills.
Right.
But the physical act of the painting, for me, was very relaxing.
Your therapy. It was your therapy.
It was.
Yeah.
But when it was late at night and the kids were in bed,
mm-hmm.
and I was tired, and there wasn't somebody there to tell them how my day went.
It's true.
You know, and girlfriends, you know, are critical. You know, parents, you know, your parents, aunts, uncles, whatever,
right.
cousins, whoever. But just know that you're not alone in parenting your kids by yourself.
That is true.
And there are so many single moms and single dads and a single grandparent who's raising a grandchild. I mean, again, disclaimer-wise, it doesn't matter who you are. If you are the single parent of children, it gets exhausting.
Right.
And you're not the only one who thinks it's exhausting. And you're not the only one who hits that 10 o'clock at night point where you don't want to go to bed because this is the first time you've had any time to yourself, but you also don't want to stay up because you realize how lonely you are and you don't want to sit there lonely.
Right.
So you go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Right.
You know?
And you toss and turn.
Right.
Yeah, because
right.
you're thinking of what you have to do in the morning when everybody gets up.
Right.
And your day starts again.
Right.
Yeah.
And I know you've mentioned the tired thing, and
mm-hmm.
that was a hard point for you, that you were just physically and mentally exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And my thing was the loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't physically, I mean, I was tired. I wasn't physically exhausted, but for me, it was the mental loneliness.
Yeah.
It was the feeling that the world didn't care that I existed unless I was changing a diaper, burping a baby, you know, fixing training wheels on a bike,
right.
paying a bill, making dinner.
Right.
And moms are so much more than that. Moms are all of that.
Right.
But moms are also still people.
Right.
And there's lots of single moms that feel like they're the only one going through this. And I promise you, you're not. You know, there's different levels of stress depending on who you are. I know some single moms have great paying jobs, so they're never broke and they've got tons of money, but they can't do anything because they're always with the kids.
Or
and
they're always working to make all that
they're always
money.
Working.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and there's other moms that are always broke, so they can't get out and do anything.
Right.
You know, so you have to find a support group of your own. And I say support group, it could be, you know, family, a neighbor,
one friend,
whatever.
Even one friend.
Yeah.
That's on pretty much the same level you are.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the kids depend on you.
Right.
And they're not depending on every other weekend for 3 hours dad. Or mom, again, disclaimer-wise.
Right.
When you're the full-time mom, single mom, the kids depend on you. And there's no wrong way to do it. There's no right way to do it. There's just how you figure out what works for you to do it.
True.
I say that. Somebody said to me, "What do you mean there's no wrong way to be a single parent?" And I said, well, the wrong way to be a single parent was to be bitter and hate your child. That's the wrong way.
Oh, yeah.
Anything short of that, you're doing good. Yeah. So I hope that we've educated you. I hope that you found a couple of things to laugh at, maybe some things that you recognized in yourself, in your life. And just our encouragement. I'm 48, I've raised 5 children, and don't know how I did it, have no clue how I survived it.
The family doesn't either.
If I look back on my life, and I look at the hard times, the good times, the holidays, the you know, snow days where the kids are home, and I had planned that day to get something done at home, and I planned no kids being there, and everybody was there. You look back on your life, and you just say, I don't know how I did it. And that's why I encourage single moms, single dads, whoever, find your way. Find what works for you. Communicate with your kids. Be honest with your kids. Be open to what your kids have to say. Respect your kids' feelings. And if all those seem a little far-fetched, think about this. If you can be honest with yourself that you're having a difficult time, it's going to be easier. If you can trust yourself to set boundaries for what you can and can't accomplish, you know, saying yes to everything versus saying, no, I need some me time, whatever.
Right.
All the things that I'm suggesting you do for your children, you need to first learn how to do for yourself.
And I must interject this. Lynn's children have all made it, and they're all in their 20s. And she's done a great job, and her family still cannot believe that she's done what she's done. And the kids are all well, and she's an incredible person. But I just wanted to interject that so they know where you're coming from. They figure, you mentioned you're 48, and her kids are all in their 20s, late 20s, and doing great. So she did something right in her not knowing what to do. So I just wanted to give you that.
Well, that being said, we can disclose that Sally is my mom.
And will be forever.
And will be forever. And I hope that you found some hope in today's show. Give us a call if there's anything that we can do for you, if you just need to vent. You know, like I said, reach out. You can reach out to us. The phone number is 614-403-4545. And you have been listening to Stop Feeding the Predators on City of Angels Recovery Radio. And healing starts here.